My pause happens every day. Sometimes it's a blessing to be have to have nothing. My goal is to be happy. I was a very black and white kid growing up. Don't take everyone's advice. I'm an obsessive person, and my hack for staying obsessive was healthy obsessions. Can my clothes not have to speak for me? Can I speak for myself? Who I am on the inside, I think, was always special. Who you want to be and being that person is a journey of patience.
Vedant Lamba has wanted to be an entrepreneur from even before most of us even tried to learn how to ride a cycle. And he's also someone who's supremely passionate about what he does, but also about how he projects all of that inside himself and really dig into his own mindset. So we're going to tap into all of that and more on this episode. But before we go there, I want to make sure you hit subscribe and smash that bell icon. See you in the chat with Vedant. Welcome to the show, man. I'm happy we're doing this. We're finally doing this in person. The last time we did this was last year on Advertising Instead. I think we did online.
Yes.
You with your nice AirPods Max and...
Which screwed up the audio, you know. How is that going to be cool and all that? Screwed up the audio. And this time, no headphones.
Whenever you and I have spoken and whenever we've kind of like had longer conversations, what's always struck me is that you have a sense of clarity when you speak about anything. And that seems to be very inherently a part of your thing. Do you look at yourself as someone who's very clear about what you're doing and where you want to go? And has that always been the case?
See, it's fairly nuanced, right? On one side of life, I have deep clarity. On another side, I'm like ridiculously messed up. And like, you know, there's just none of it. And I'm always finding it. I feel like my strength lies in that clarity of, I know big picture what I want to do, where I want to go constantly. And I've run that exercise so many times, right? It's just a process of like reiteration from when I was as young as maybe 10 years old. It was, oh, skateboards are cool because I saw them on TV, but there's no skateboards in India. Mm. Maybe I could buy a skateboard next time I'm on vacation with my family, come back, get a guide, learn how it works, start training kids, build this empire of like, you know, skateboard schools. And I've done this exercise, I don't know how many times, that slow and steady, I got to joust verbally with, you know, it was in my head, then it was with my father. It was a lot with my father. Granted, it's still today with my father. Mm. But then I started going out to people who've done relevant things. Maybe someone who built a sports school. And then there's people who've built different businesses. And then it was with you and so on and so forth. And, you know, this journey has been so rewarding to be constantly doing this exercise, but discovering sooner what doesn't work and what works. Basis evidence, basis proof. So I think I've gotten better at that. You give me a direction and I can scope out a roadmap for where this goes into being like a gazillion dollar business, because that's what I care about. At least I think that's what it can be. So, you know, I've had ideas also since when I was much younger, maybe 14, 15, 16, that have gone on to be big business that other people have built. Because, you know, you're always like, oh, if this is really that good of an idea, why is no one else doing it? Very important question to answer. And then eventually people did it and I killed it, and because they were smarter people than I was. And it's nice to see that. It's like, oh, my ideas were, you know, they had some merit to them. And yeah, I think that clarity of roadmap comes from there. And then there's the other side of things where I'm learning and, you know, it's getting better. And yeah, I think self-awareness is definitely one of my strengths comparative to my other, like, you know, skill sets in life. I don't know if I'm objectively really good at it, but I've heard.
When I'm hearing what you're saying, and you mentioned self-awareness, right? And that's one of the things which I feel most people struggle with, is that your awareness of your own self often comes from what other people are telling you about yourself. You are less, I mean, you're not hearing your own voice as much as you're hearing everybody else's. So when you kind of think back on yourself when you were, I mean, you said, considering the fact that you had entrepreneur ideas when you were 14.
Earlier, I was earlier than 14. 10. 12, I remember 10. I being 8, 9, 10 thinking about the skateboard idea. It was my first empire to build, you know. I distinctly remember thinking about it. I don't know why it happened. I don't know.
Why did that fascinate you so much? I mean, I want to really dig into that a little bit.
I think I'd attribute a lot of this to my father. He, you know, my parents, I grew up in a lot of privilege, but today, you know, my clarity on what my greatest privilege was faith. And they really gave me this like infinite belief that I could do anything. And I believed that they believed that I could do anything. It was like the world was at my feet. Until today, I feel like it. And when I meet people who even remotely, they're like, oh, how could I? Like, and my immediate thing is, but you can do anything. It's like, you understand, you have everything around you, wherever you are in life. You know, in fact, sometimes it's a blessing to have nothing. I have this faith in myself and the world that anybody can do anything because of my parents. I think that's where it comes from. Yeah. So it really just gave me that.
You know, I remember seeing some of your, and you vlogged for a long time.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at some of those older videos. And your father, this one particular video, I think it was your father's birthday. There was one video.
Made a film for his birthday.
Made a film for his birthday.
This is who I want to be when I grow up.
And I remember that one.
Oh, wow. I don't know if you've seen this.
And tell me about your relationship with your father. I think most of, and I say this often because I've realized this in therapy myself, is that most of what we are is, it comes from how our childhood was and what inherently started there. And because you mentioned it, I'd love to hear more about your relationship with your father.
It's, my relationship's always been great. He's been unnecessarily, unreasonably supportive through everything, right? My dad's he's a PhD, he's well-respected as an academic, he's an author, all of that. And, you know, I haven't passed 12th grade, I'm technically 10th grade pass. And he had strong ambition for me from day one in a very non-toxic manner. It was always like, yo, you have the potential to be first in your class. Why are you not studying better? And now I'm realizing now why I didn't. You know, there are other related issues. And he didn't like, it was never toxic. It was great. But then on the flip side of things, there was an inherent pressure that I felt just looking at him be this calm, secure individual who had same routine since I can remember. It's wherever we are in the world, if we're on vacation or he's at work, man is up at the same time doing the exact same thing every day. And it's so, because of my own issues, it was always scary to me. It's like, I can't do this. There's no way I could do this. And today I'm coming into it slow and steady. I'm discovering, wow, I can be like him. And it's making me happy. You know, I'm doing a few things every day and in a healthy manner now, after approaching it in an unhealthy manner several times as well. And I'm coming into that. But yeah, like I told you, man, I can't think of any other reason for where I am today, which is happy, happy on a journey that it's a time of my life. I'm living the dream and it's all thanks to my parents, you know, mom, dad, both.
And when you think about that point of time, let's say when you were 10, 12 to when you eventually started a business, became an entrepreneur. Talk about that time when you actually did start. Did it feel like it was not what you thought it was, or was it everything you thought it was? And did the way you looked at it from a headspace kind of change over time?
No, I was my first technical like business activity. I think I was 13 or 14, maybe. I convinced my parents to buy a DSLR, saying we'll get damn good photos, you know, on vacation and all. Till today, they make fun of me about like, if I take a photo, they're never going to get it. But I was a geek. I just wanted equipment around me. I love tech. So I started taking photos and then I would tell people I can take photos for them for money. In my head at that time also, I could do anything. So anyone said anything, I would say, yes, I can do it. Then I'll go figure it out. So like, can you shoot photos for, you know, makeup artists? Can you shoot like a portfolio for me? Of course I can shoot a photo. Then I'll go figure out, okay, I can rent lights and I'll charge 10,000 rupees. Okay, I'll make so much off of that. Okay, cool. And I was extremely naive and I have trouble focusing because my mind is all over the place. I am high chance I'm somewhere on this ADD spectrum, if not actually, have ADD or ADHD. I'm actually getting diagnosed tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
I just filled a form. I'm saying
nice also because I got diagnosed 5 years ago and I don't have it. I have autonomy, but I'm good going and doing the test.
Because of this lack of my ability to focus is why I couldn't study properly, is because I developed issues with this fear of not being able to do, you know, what my dad is doing, his routine. I'm discovering all this now and it's great to, you know, identify problems. So because of my lack of focus, I do one thing, 100 like constantly moving forward. As a result, my feedback loop was very short. I was constantly reiterating. I was learning from mistakes. I was making more mistakes. I was making a lot of mistakes. It's a lot of mistakes growing up. So I didn't ever think, oh, it's different. It was always, oh, of course, this is the business. Day one, I was like, oh, of course, I can do anything. Then I slowly started realizing, okay, I really can't do much. I got to learn how to do a lot of things. So then I started learning and, you know, I got slapped in the face a lot and it was great. It was great to get slapped in the face, you know. It was great to be like, oh, wow, my problems are so big now. Can you imagine? It's like, oh, shit, like 2 years ago, I can't imagine that I'd have like a deep requirement to make a 10 lakh payment today. And that would sound so unreal. And today it's like, oh, it came and went. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking like big numbers now. Problems are so big. Like, wow, who would have thought?
And that, what you just said, right, is something which we don't talk about enough about being an entrepreneur. Is you expect it to be this large scale thing which you kind of like build out, but it's the smaller things of realizing that, like when you said this, I think back on when Rohit and I first started, we were asked saying, do you need to get a service tax certificate? Because at that point in time, GST wasn't a thing. And you only need to get a service tax number if you were going to bill more than 12 lakhs in a year. You're like, we won't make that much. Yeah, it's okay. We don't have to get it. But you said you'll get it anyway. I mean, it's a lot more than, I think we 10x that in year one,
oh,
right?
Wow.
And you're like, what?
Hell
like,
yeah.
And so it's
I think different here. I'm talking debt. You're talking, you made extra money. There are different problems.
No, but we had debt as well.
Don't try to stoop to my level.
No, we had debt as well. But no, the thing is this, is that it's the realization of those are the brass, base level entrepreneur things that people don't talk about. What we talk about is, oh, let's build a, let's, you know, build valuation, build a business plan. No, it's the actual sitting down. It's the debt, it's the credits,
things,
handling people.
Shit. Yeah, GST.
Handling a team.
Handling, oh my God, so hard. So
which
hard.
Brings me to, since you said, oh my God, and you and I have had conversations on this many times. One is to become an entrepreneur. The other thing is to suddenly have people who are working with you.
Towards what you want to do.
Keeping them motivated, keeping them on the same kind of focus that you want them to be on. How has that been? How
that's
has that
actually
been?
It's my single skill set. So I can take somebody and sell them a vision and make them a part of it and make them feel like, you know, they can do anything. And because I believe it. It's honest, it's authentic. If I could go back and change, you know, like people have asked me this and it's like nothing. It's usually I don't have an answer, but now I do. So I didn't know how to hire. I didn't know how deep of a world it is. Over the last few weeks and months, in fact, I've been learning this. And again, I'm happy that I've identified it as a problem because the problem identified is half solved. Now I'm getting to the depths of how to interview people and how to find the right people. And I'm just going ham discovering that, oh, I can do anything except I think train people to build like operations. Maybe. And it's not worth my time to learn that. You know, I need to continue talking to you about where this is going and how this is and what you learned on your bit. I need to find people who've done similar activities elsewhere and I need people who can empower me. It was a very arrogant thought of me being able to empower people. And while I might have, you know, made some excellent relationships and, you know, deep bonds with people who would maybe take a bullet for us as a brand, I might have done a disservice to them by introducing them to a role that might not be right for them. And it was my fault. And I've accepted it. I've taken accountability for it. I've messaged ex-employees apologizing. I'm like, you know, I think you should have left much earlier. I think it's my fault that I was scared to lose you, that I felt like I was dependent. That's my bad. And I'm sorry. I think all of this is part of a process and everybody has their own mistakes and I've made these and I'm okay with it. So, you know, the motivation bit was not hard to do. It's still my strength. What was hard was to learn who to hire for what. And now that I have that clarity, I'm, you know, there's also fear built from that pressure that I can't afford good and all of that. And so now I'm on it. I'm chasing it. This next fundraise is getting us closer.
Do you feel like you're very hard on yourself?
It's a mix, right? This last couple of years, we scaled very fast in a complete lockdown with me and a 19-year-old intern. Didn't know how to handle it, right? Didn't know how to stabilize an operation. From there, we hired very quick, fired quick, AVO. It was very soon, there was a lot of pressure. And I just went with it. I'm the kind of person who, you know, from the same things that we discussed about since I was a kid, I would immediately shut down. And anxiety, pressure make me shut down. I'd be like, okay, just like, okay, as long as it's moving forward, I'd distract. So while I am hard, I'm also 2 lakhs. And I'm getting over that. Right now, it's not like stress is gone, but I've spent time over the last few months healing from the pressure that I built onto my head, trying to do 100 things at the same time, all in a rush, to now just calming down and achieving, taking a pause, achieving one thing at a time, not being in a rush, realizing there's no real rush. I have my whole life ahead of me. And you know, that is making me more easy and also go harder on myself. I'm able to face the fact sooner rather than wait for things to get real bad. You know, I made some really bad mistakes and I think it's okay. I really screwed my head up over the last year and a half. I damaged myself badly and I'm now realizing it. And that meant taking a lot of hard decisions, including, you know, ending a relationship including changing plans, including, you know, a lot of things that I've normally been scared to do, including, you know, all of that, accepting more failures, accepting where we stand. And I'm really glad. Net, there is progress. You know, there's ups and downs, but net, yeah, progress is being made. And I'm very, very, very happy.
Thank you for sharing that. But and I'm saying thank you because it's not easy to share the stuff that is downhill.
Yeah.
It's very easy to share the stuff that goes uphill.
Yeah, I don't mean to take it. There's a lot of uphill happening. Also, you know, I shouldn't.
In your head, in your head, I would say
I'm living in this.
I feel all the downhill you've spoken about is mental.
Yeah, a lot of it is all problems I've created for myself. None of it was real.
Yeah, which is why you're such an interesting mixture of things. On one end, you have tremendous self-belief. On the other end, you are also supremely hard on yourself. You are so clear and sharp about business and like. At 10 years old, I don't think, we've very few people who think of building a business at 10. You are one of those people.
I didn't do it though. So everybody can think
of
it.
You had the idea. Most of us are not even thinking of the idea of starting a business at 10, right? And the more I speak to you, I've realized that it's like you're working towards something. There is a certain goal in your head. Yeah. It might not be one singular goal, but it's something you're kind of working towards.
Yeah, there's a plan. It's a big scale plan.
Does that add a lot of pressure on you mentally? Yes and no. Have you found ways to kind of work with it?
Yeah, I'm battling right now with that, right? Oh, maybe I'm not going to be Elon Musk one day. You know, when I say Elon Musk, it's just a symbol for that size of like impact.
Yeah, right now you don't want to say...
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe not the best example.
No, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
I would love to be buying Twitter for fun and, you know, screwing it up. Like, hell yeah. If I can afford that, I am cool with the controversy that comes with it. You know, by all means. Hell yeah. I'll take that any day of the week. You know, sorry, Bella Hadid, no more Twitter for you. It's mine now. You know, I'm that kid. Mera baat hai, mera khel. It's like, fine, you leave, go home. I'm okay with it. But that being said, yeah, I'm now battling to grasp that my goal is to be happy.
Mm.
And that happiness could come at 10 crores, 100 crores, 1,000 crores, 10,000 crores, 100,000 crores. Right now, the clear ambition is, you know, there's nothing short of, you know, 10,000 crores types that doesn't get me out of bed. It's like, oh, I need to have a life where, and on a very like deep philosophical sense, it is, I want to get money out of the way.
Mm.
I want to discover real joy in life where money plays no role in it. I'm like, oh, it's so stupid that I want a Ferrari. I don't actually, like, I want to get out of the way. I know it's not going to give me joy, but I don't want it to be there. I don't want to see a Ferrari and be like, oh, I see more of a Lambo, but Ferrari is like, you know, it's a symbol for it. I don't want to look at a plane and be like, oh, I wish. That should not occupy any space in my head. I want to think problems and solutions. I want to have fun with it.
Mm.
You know, the idea, people ask me, what are you going to do if you, you know, sell the business? The first thing I want to do is go live in a forest. Like, I've always wanted to, you know, be friends with animals and have a life with no technology around or anything of that sort. Just so you can build technology from scratch. You know, build a home, build a shelter, build a fireplace, make a real fire. All those things sound so fun to me. So there's that. And there's the other end is, okay, maybe you won't do that. And maybe that's okay. And accept that now. So you can objectively chase a business to build it big without this illuminating, abstract, you know, giant object of achievement. And, you know, someone the other day said something so simple to me in, so you're not defined by your achievements, you're defined by your value. He first said, you're not defined by achievements. And as soon as he said that, I was like, wait, what? I was like, what do you say? It sounds like it should be the most obvious thing in the world. And I had to literally be like, wait, then what are you defined by? And he's like, your values. And I was like, huh, that's very, you know, should be normal.
Yeah.
And then I spent the next couple of weeks telling this to everybody. I was like, oh, you know, you're not actually defined by achievements. You're defined by values. Man. And it sent me, you know, it really sent me thinking. I was like, okay, so I'm grasping with all of this while trying to healthily work towards building what I'm building and, you know, building it to a larger scale and objectively choosing bigger problems to solve and things like that. That's where I'm at.
What you just said about the, let's get it out of the way so it's not in your head. I have a slightly different take on that. And I'll tell you what my take is. So I've sold a company. The expectation was that, thanks.
live in a forest.
Was that you sell a company, you build a business, you've gone from two people in an apartment to what, 500-700 people. You know, you would expect yourself to feel emotional when you get the money, didn't.
Shit.
To be honest, what everybody does, and this is like a simple fact, when you get money, when you sell a company, you take a screenshot and then you move on to the next, day's work, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is literally all I did. I just took a screenshot and invested, kept some for family, invested, exactly. Literally the same life from that moment onwards again. I kept saying, okay, at some point it's going to mean something. And it didn't, like I recently, like it's about 2-3 weeks since I finally left Glitch. It was only when I announced that I was leaving. That's literally 5 years after selling the company.
Oh, wow.
When I put up that one post and a lot of ex-employees started writing into me, saying things that they had experienced with me, which some of them, which I don't even remember. That's when I felt it. I'm like, one second. That is when I...
This is going, yeah.
I mean, literally, this one story I've told too many times, but it literally hit me the most. Is there's a girl who worked with us for many years, and she wrote about how when she was an intern and it was raining in Bombay, first time out of her out of Bangalore when she was there, I got her, I think, rasam vada for like, just like, make it feel like home. I don't recollect that. Is but that she racist? Remembers. And she remembers it.
You're like, off of Bangalore, will you have rasam?
But she was missing it. She's, and I was like, eating
buddy.
It. But she was missing
I
it.
Eat normal food.
No, but she was excited by like, it.
Yeah. I could have gone a different way. Yeah, Varun Rishi profiled.
Thankfully, I had hung out with her before, so I knew what she would like.
Sorry to play it like that. But no, I feel you.
Yeah. But it's that, right? It's the feeling that you get when you say, okay, this is what it was for.
Yeah, the smaller things.
And the fact that people will say, okay, this is what it, companies helped me in my career this way. Or someone, the number of people who met the people they got married to, etc., at work was another one.
Yeah. You did also, no?
So Pooja and I, us meeting, getting married, and her coming onto Glitch happened simultaneously. It was like almost like a parallel track happened exactly. Yeah. So that was an interesting, it just literally was a parallel track.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about, as much as I believed that buying things might get them out of the way, it just made me want to buy more things. Correct. But the day I stopped buying things is the day I actually felt happier.
Yeah. No, I feel that I've microdosed this feeling. And I really like this. I like microdosing things these days. You know, I'm microdosing abstinence in my life right now by resisting smaller things through a day in order to build up. So I'm an obsessive person, and my hack for staying obsessive was healthy obsessions. So, you know, I've never consumed anything that I can't be obsessed with. It's not always good. I've ended up being like, you know, addicted to chips or whatever, which is, it's not the worst, it's not heroin, but it's not great either, right? And in my low points, it's like, it gets bad, but I'm fine now. So I microdose this feeling of not buying, and that's also part of the insecurities I'm getting over right now. So last 2 years, I've not bought anything new. Not bought new clothes. I got a few like plain t-shirts made for myself, a few clothes made for myself. I sold one or two, three hype shoes. Because before that, it was a desire. I would see a nice pair of shoes, be like a really nice shoe. Oh, I didn't have a lot, but very rarely I would see a shoe that really
hit
my taste.
It's that itch, right? Which ends exactly after you buy from cart. You don't really enjoy the thing. You enjoy buying it, but after you bought it, it means nothing. Yeah. It's that momentary spike.
And my thing was, I'll get back to this eventually. Abhi ke liye, you know, it'll be good for the story. And it's not worth my headspace to worry about how to afford a pair of shoes. You know, because these shoes are not cheap. When I go 70 grand, 80 grand for a pair of shoes, it's not worth my time right now. I shouldn't. And I should get over this. Surrounded by what I am, I should figure out a way to not be consumed. And I did. And it's something I'm definitely like, you know, it's proved so functionally beneficial to me. I can travel with a backpack for 6 days. I have just wear the same thing, and I'm never looking underdressed or overdressed. Everybody looks at me like, of course. And it's just decent looking clothes, you know, it's fine. So this like getting over that itch, that want is so good. I never look at something like, oh shit, I want. I didn't feel it anymore. It's just gone. I see a nice pair of, like, wow, that's a nice pair of shoes. But the thought of buying it is completely off the table. That's incredible. I have, like, you know, in my personal life, my cash requirement is nothing. So when the business is stabbed, it all goes back in, and I as a result is I have nothing, but it's fine. It's so good to feel like lightweight like that. You know, my closet is so functionally like convenient. It's a beautiful system at home. Yeah. I get to literally just resize. And then also lines up with sustainability and it's good for the environment. But yeah, I feel you getting over that itch is very valuable.
And it's an interesting and rather important step for someone like you because your business is pretty much selling stuff that is hype.
Yeah.
Stuff that is costing a certain amount of stuff. That is something everybody wants. Yeah, like
status symbols.
Yeah.
And my question is, can I be the status symbol? Can it be me? Can my clothes not have to speak for me? Can I speak for myself? Can my actions, my values speak for myself? And I think this sort of like making myself, you know, figuratively naked. Everybody's looking at me, not ever wondering what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Or it's never, oh, that's nice shoe, so he's probably a cool guy. I'm always wearing a pair of beat up Adidas shoes. So it's, you know, so people have to be friends with me for me. You know, you don't have an option only. You'll never be friends with me for anything else. Or you'll never talk to me for anything else. Yeah. And that's great.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm surrounded by a great bunch of individuals and I'm very, very proud of being like, you know, associated with.
And I've also seen you evolve. I've been, you and I have known each other for a few years now. I've seen you kind of evolve into this person who's a gone minimal. I also has said, okay, I don't think I ever need the fluff, but you've moved the fluff away in terms of just looking at what your focus areas are.
Yeah.
Has that also
made gone from your DM requests to your studio.
And has that changed you as an entrepreneur? Has that changed everything as someone who operates
changed.
A business?
Everything has changed, but nothing has changed. Hmm. Does that make sense? You know, things are always changing, but also nothing's changing. Mm. I think there's parts of me that I want to hold on to, and there's parts of me that I'm learning are not important to hold on to. I was a very black and white kid growing up. I was super radical. You know, this 10-year-old entrepreneur drive was I'm gonna, you know, like I'm gonna build this giant thing, and everything I do is, you know, legendary. And I was like, you know, very radical, and it wasn't good. It was very toxic for people around me, friends, family. I was in an extremely toxic relationship at 18, you know, and that toxicity, in fact, helped me unlearn a lot of things. And then, you know, I lost some things that I thought I shouldn't have. And now I'm getting like, I'm getting back to being grossly like ambitious and believing that I am a star and, you know, owning it a little more that I'm going to build like a giant business. I'm going to be a big deal and like owning that, but in a healthy manner, like, you know, not being like, oh, how dare you say anything otherwise, but like, I know it. I'm being secure in that. It's for me to know. And I can tell people without thinking, oh, I shouldn't say this. I don't get it. It's okay. I know I'm fine with that. So, you know, like things keep changing, but also things don't. A lot of things don't. Who I am on the inside, I think, was always special. And I'm holding on to that in some sense. And I'm building on that. I'm supplementing that with the right tools, with the right energy, you know, with the right physical activity, with all of that, with the right relationships, with the right advice, the right conversations. So I'm really happy right now in life, you know. Despite a lot of my stresses not really going away, I discovered a few months ago that there are milestones I'm waiting for in my head that would take it away, say a fundraise. But if I didn't fix, you know, this mentality before, then it'll never go. So in your most stressful times, you can detach. In the worst time at work, you can still be completely okay and feel fine and still know that, okay, some problem, nothing is futile. You know, one of my investors who's a close mentor, like, this is one of the most stressful times of my life. We're battling some legal trouble, and it was the first time it happened to me. You know, I felt defeated. I was down, and I got COVID in the middle of it on top of all that. And I asked him, I was like, send me a few points. One of them was just understand and believe that nothing is ever futile. Like, you know, there will always, it's always next. At the end of the day, just like believe. You're a good person doing good things, not doing anything wrong. Relax, everything will be fine. You know, that really sat with me. So I'm learning to do all of these things. So these things are constantly evolving, I would say. Maybe not changing, but evolving. Better word. I think I'm regularly evolving to better.
Has that also changed how you look at relationships? Just connecting with other people, how you interact with them, what you expect from them? Has that changed
a lot? I was a very insecure, sensitive kid. So it impacted my friendships and all that. Now it's a lot more chill. Sometimes I think it still comes out, but it has improved my relationships with my friends so much. You know, I still have my closest friends from when I was a kid. And I I only had one school experience, right, to the 10th grade. So I don't have a chance to make friends in college and junior college and work.
Because you went straight to building a business.
Because I went straight to, you know, really not going to college. I remember just building a business. So I never made like that sort of like, you know, I feel like most people make a lot of deep relationships in force of environment, which also happened to me in school, for example. I didn't have the chance to do that even. And all of them did.
Hmm.
So, you know, I've become friends with them, you know. So then, also separating associates from friends. I'm also like a person who's social, but not really. I don't have any habits that are socially like driving. You know, I've never, and sometimes this would, in fact, you know, make me question my decisions. It's like, oh, wow, I can never really grab a drink with someone. No one will think of me to grab a drink because I've never had any alcohol.
Hmm.
It's like, I'm missing out on so much. Like, nobody wants to drink with me,
hmm,
which is fair. But it's like, okay, am I missing out on building relationships there? So naturally, I'm not really like, you know, the objective figure of my being is not social.
Hmm.
So, but I was, you know, socially keen. I was keen to make friends and build that. So it took very like conscious effort.
Hmm.
And I remember 2020 December, and I also made one of my resolutions is I'm going to build a social life in Bombay. I don't have friends here. I need to make real friends. You know, not just associate. Everybody was an associate after. Like, why am I not friends with someone who has nothing to do with my work?
Yeah.
You know, I should. Then I started doing that. And luckily today, you know, I'm proud enough to say I know a bunch of really like incredible people, you know, who I can do, like I can hang out with despite, you know, there's things to do. It's good.
And I feel that connecting and building friendships, building relationships in today's world is also tricky, right? Because,
yeah.
And especially when you're an adult, this is whole thing going on about, can you build friendships as an adult without having a, at the back end of it, thinking of an agenda, thinking of some form of leverage, and even thinking of the fact that, okay, what will this kind of like lead to?
Yeah.
And what you just said, I think that's a great way to start. You're saying, can I find someone who has zero connection to my world or what I'm actually doing? So they're never going to be an associate. I love that term. But you're just finding someone, can I just like... Yeah. Be fun to kind of hang.
Yeah, I was so associate driven, right? I was so just work oriented. I never thought only to make friends. And I looked around, I was like, wow, I have no friends. And I was in this transitionary phase. There was a time earlier when I was moving Pune to Bombay. So my Pune friends didn't think I was there. Bombay friends, I didn't have any. It was a very like lonely period. You know, it was a very depressing time in my life also before like Main Street started like picking up a little bit. When I was in a transition phase and I was just moving here, I've been through that. And I've seen like, you know, the real struggle was that first year in Bombay. It was also one of the most fun years of my life.
Hmm.
But a lot of that like gives you that perspective. It's okay, let's consciously build sort of those equations and the friendships and yada, yada, yada.
If I had to ask you what your biggest fear was, what would it be?
I don't know anymore. I'm starting to try and insulate myself from, you know, nothing is really bad. Mm. Life is life. Kalko, I mean, I don't know if I'm 35 and I've got a job with a glitch and, you know, my startup crash and burn and I'm, you know, if I'm doing decently well, I have a family I like, I have friends I like, my parents are good. It's fine.
Mm.
It's okay.
Mm.
Things will change. And I hope to constantly strive for happiness.
Mm.
So I don't think I have a fear as such. You know, earlier I was like, oh, if I don't end up being a billionaire, it's my biggest fear. But I don't want it to be. Maybe it still is somewhere, but I don't want it to be. You know, nothing is so fixed. I think beyond like, as soon as I can probably fly business or first, I think I have like a want for like a certain amount of comfort around me. I think once I hit that, I'll be good.
Mm.
You know, decent car driver, whatever. Of course, the want is to have a ludicrous garage like Iron Man or some shit. And, you know, have my own Iron Man suit and my own plane and my own happy and all of that. Like, basically Iron Man. But, you know, beyond that, I think there's a healthy way to chase that. And maybe my goals will change. Let's hope not.
Mm.
I really hope not. But maybe they will. There's no reason to have any fears like that. Maybe fears will then tap into emotionally, which is like, okay, there's family and friends. And, you know, maybe those are now like objectively, I think those are just fears that will really suck. Aside from that, nothing like career-wise should technically affect you like that. I would hope to stay healthy and my family and friends stay healthy and animals around me stay safe and all that. Yeah, that's it.
As I'm hearing you talk, right, there are a few things that kind of come to mind and I feel those are super relevant as well, is that you at no point, I noticed that you do two things. One is you experiment with a lot of things, like in the sense that in the, this with the wardrobe, right? Like, or your cold showers thing, which you still doing cold showers?
Yeah.
Still doing cold showers every morning or all the time. That's the only shower you take.
It's the only shower I take for the most part. I think very rarely now. And it's great. Now I'm just used to it. And it was microdosing mental strength. Can you do things that scare you slowly, steadily, and teach your body that, you know, Seneca says, your body must be reminded that it is a slave to the mind. And it's also functional. Showers are so much shorter. Not waiting for the warmth, not enjoying it so much, but it doesn't like faze me anymore. Yeah. And I've done it in like cold environments. I've done sauna to cold shower, like freezing cold shower. And it's like, oh, now I can do this. Crazy. What else can I do?
Yeah.
So we slowly and steadily discover all of that.
And the second part is that at no point are you seeing that this is how I do things, this is how I think. You're open to being curious about trying different ways of doing things, almost not just experimenting with something which is like a cold shower versus a hot shower, but also you're saying, okay, I look at business a certain way, I look at relationships a certain way. Does the fact that you're open to like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, what works for you, which I've seen that you do a lot, and you take learnings from those and move ahead. Has that been always the method of doing things? Because
I'm not sure. I've slowly, slowly built to it for sure. Right? Okay. You know, like I'm trying to adopt. So there's, I did an interview a few months ago with someone writing a book on ambition, and this woman just got like deep in my head. Right? About where it comes from. And it was a very clear that, okay, I have a very clear picture of who I am, who I want to be. And who you want to be and being that person is a journey of patience, of adopting values, deciding to adopt them, and then waiting for that option. So at the end of the day, we're beings of our surroundings, right? So I have to wait and manifest the surroundings or put myself in a surrounding to display said values. So there are theories that I learn and I'm like, oh, that's a good one, right? For example, this from Ryan Holiday, right? Talking about how Seneca says that, you know, your body is a slave to the mind and must be reminded that. So when you turn your cold shower or, and now that started reflecting in other parts of my life. When things are stressful, I'm like, you know, remind myself that I'm still in control and, you know, that I can go through this tough time like a cold shower and just take it head on and continue working. And so one of them was feedback loops. I heard, I think, Kunal Shah talk about, you know, early days when I became a big fan of his work, and his work being his business building, but then also how he speaks and his thought process. And one of them was, you know, the value of reiteration and how progress is made. Then I say this so much. If you're a friend of mine, you've probably heard me say this to you at some point, you know, solicited, unsolicited, I've said it to you as advice. I'm slowly compounding values into eventually being this person and this image that I have of myself in the future, which would always be 10 years next. It's like when, what is that actor? Matthew McConaughey said, right? He's like, who do you want to be when you were 10? It's like, me when I'm 20. And who do you want to be at 20? Me when I'm 30. And I'm going to constantly change. And that keeps changing. Every time I meet someone who's interesting, I'm like, okay, I want to add this. So I meet this one. Okay, I want to add this from here. My dad's this one. And I'm mixing and matching. And there's this human being that is me in the future that I'm chasing, you know? Is I'll meet people of, you know, great wealth and see habits that they have. And I'm like, oh, wow, I want to have these habits. And I mean, people with no wealth who have incredible habits, you know, sometimes, regardless, agnostic of the wealth, let's say, you know, there's friends of mine who sometimes, oh, they don't care about this, or they do care about this. And I'm like, that's so interesting. And I want to adopt that. And I'm very shameless about it. And I think, you know, when I'm asked, why do you wear the same clothes every day? Steve Jobs did it. Quickest way to be successful is to imitate habits of successful people. Screw it. I'm copying him. Yes, I'm copying him. It's fine. Whether I am or no, it's okay. Who cares? Bold though, I don't really. It is what it is, you know. And I'm very shamelessly copying a lot of people every day. You know, I'm not. Everyone is copying me. Why do I do it? It's fine. I'm copying a lot of things from you. Copying a lot of things from several people. And I'm building this person who I want to be. And those values, I'm waiting for opportunities to display them. You know, when I think of thoughts that are interesting, I have to wait to be invited to a podcast. So I can organically display it and be like, wow, he's a thought leader. You know, these are his thoughts. He thinks like this. Amazing. It's like, because I watch Kunal Shah once speak, and I'm like, wow, I also want to speak like this.
Does referencing people, and I'm not doing reference, just like you said, you're picking pieces from people, right? You're almost creating like a scrapbook and saying, this is, put this whole thing together, this formula is going to be building towards who I'll become.
Yeah.
Does it lead you down like imposter syndrome ever?
I don't think it's related, but there is a lot of imposter syndrome in life because of the messy part of places where I don't have that clarity. I'm like, oh, I don't really deserve this front end because I'm good at front end. I'm an excellent speaker. If I'd objectively built this business, you know, to the numbers that we had or whatever, I probably wouldn't have the network I do today. I have that network because of a separate skill. I'm good with people. I'm good with talking to people. I'm good at selling my vision. And so sometimes I feel like what I've actually done is not getting me this, you know, for example, like, if I had built a Paragon chappal business to the scale I'm at today, nobody would care. Achha, ye chappal bechta hai, chappal bechta hai, theek hai, matlab is nothing. But Paragon is where it is, and everybody you meet, someone who started Paragon, you don't know his name, but you meet him like, you know, touch his feet or something. Because he's built such a massive business, yeah. You know? So that imposter syndrome, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome, I would also call that in some sense self-awareness. Hmm. Okay, you've not really come so far. Also, people are nice. People are really nice. You've built a business that's cool. And you know, Tanmay says to me, you have liquidity of cool.
Hmm.
You know, so your network is not going anywhere. You'll have access to people because you really have lots of liquidity of cool. Because I'm surrounded by the cool things. I, in theory, have access to the cool things that other people want. Which in my head was like, that wasn't hard to build. That's not what we have. So like, we have too much money. Wo matlab mil gaya. It is available in the free market. I don't know why, but it is true. So, you know, sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes it's awareness. That, okay, I'm not really. We should keep in mind numbers only itna right now. That's great how far we've come. Congratulations. Tap myself on the back. Pat myself on the back. But we have to still do lots more. So, you know, you're invited here because I was smart with being friends with you. I was smart to slide in your DM and I can have some advice from you and then getting on a call with you and, you know, chasing you. I think I chased you a week and a half to get 15 minutes on phone with you the first time. And then followed up with this. And then meeting just like that, and then meeting when we were raising, and then being diligent about that, and okay, good, I did a good job there, you know, very well done, very nice, congrats. But at the same time, there's a lot more to do.
You know, sometime back you spoke about the advice you got from someone when you were at that point. I want to ask you, what's the best piece of advice you ever gotten?
Don't take everyone's advice. It'll cancel so itself
true.
Out.
So true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the best, but one of the best amongst hundreds of others. Today also, you know, I got some excellent advice from who I was with earlier. It was just, you know, about such a nice guy who just gave me this, I'd invest in you. It's like, is the problem you're solving that big? You need to show that. You need to know that. Oh, you're like, it's like, he reminded me that, you say, you know, investors, they're putting you so much, such a small percentage. They believe in you. They're like, what a great guy. He's impressive. So I was like, wow, so sweet. But he's like, you are incredibly impressive. But do you know how big the problem you're solving is? Because you clearly want to build X. And he said, I believe you'll do something or the other and you'll build that size. He said, you need to know how big that pie is. If you're putting your everything in it. So why are you convincing investors? Are you really convinced of the size? Because we're building in an aftermarket, right? The data is very scarce. So he said, you need to spend more time discovering that. And he was nice enough to commit more time to me. You know, today I only got 30 minutes. And it's like, wow. And these are the things that always take me back to, I don't have a $1 billion business yet, but I have access to people like this. And it's like wild that he's telling me that he's heard nice things and so on and so forth. You know, he's giving me this sort of confidence in myself again, which is like, cool. Thank you.
A couple of the questions I asked towards the end of every episode, right? What's a relaxed day for you? Or what's a day when you've taken a pause like for you?
I try to do nothing sometimes. Chill. Kick back. Every day of my life, my pause happens every day. So I adopted a routine called Morning Pages from a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. It's a book on discovering the artist within everybody. And in my head, it was like, you know, I used to be a creative person as a kid and I've suppressed a lot of that being like, oh, I can only hire a creative. So I want to find that again. And a practice mentioned, recommended in the book for the course, the 12-week course of the book that it is, was something known as morning pages. It's a brain dump. First thing in the morning, dump all thoughts to write 3 pages. And I started trying this in February, and it was scanty, and in March a little more, and then April became every day. And I would sometimes be like, okay, April had to do every day means every day. So even if I have to go back a day or two, if I didn't write yesterday, just couldn't get myself to, I'll write today for yesterday and I'll write today. It's 2 batches. And then I made it 1,000 words minimum. And now it's at a stage where every single day without fail, I do north of 1,000 words without fail. And this is a daily pause for me. Like, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's so flowy, but it is a daily pause. It has changed my life for good. And you know, just only read about 30% of that book. I picked up on this and I've just it's given me such a lovely space to every day in an organized manner put my thoughts down. Sometimes gibberish. Sometimes, you know, after a meeting like this, I'll coerce my thoughts. I'll put them together. I'll talk about my day. I'll talk about relationships. It's very private. But it's done so much for settling my mind, giving me perspective, helping me get over so much. It's incredible. And that's basically, I think, what my pause looks like. I would recommend it to the world. It might not be for everybody, but my God, changed my life.
And a question we start to ask at the end of every episode is, what's a song that lifts your mood?
Jesus Walks by Kanye, All Falls Down by Kanye, Good Morning by Kanye, Touch the Sky by Kanye, Stronger by Kanye, Power by Kanye, I Thought About Killing You by Kanye, Violent Crimes by Kanye. I love Kanye West music. And then I was listening to Roar by Katy Perry. My music is so funny. If I show you my playlist, you will laugh so much. Like, I was at a dhol function in Delhi the other day, and the mothers were dancing to Sena Sena from Bluff Master. And I pulled up my phone. I was like, yo, this is on my playlist. I was listening yesterday. Like, it's literally that diverse. I will be listening to old Kanye. Then I'll be listening to some new Drake and 21 Savage. Then there's a song from an old Aishwarya Rai movie. There is something from Lagan. There is 2002 Justin Timberlake. It's so funny.
And all in one playlist.
It's my back-to-back. Yeah. I'd love to run you through it. Like, I'll generally show you. There's Hum Tum Ka soundtrack. And literally, just pop in my head that flute to you. I'm like, oh, I gotta listen to this again. I'll put it up and I'm just listening to it. It's great. You know, sometimes I listen to Reel. I'm like, hey, it's a good song.
You know, they say that you learn a lot about a person by looking at the playlist they listen to.
ADHD this is my diagnosis. This is so much ADHD in front of you. And then when I like a new song, no, the world around me is like condemned to listen to it nonstop, and everybody's like, shit. Like, I've seen my driver get mad sometimes. Like, are you finished? It's so funny. It's so, so, so funny. And I'm very unabashed about it. I've sunna to sunna till I remember it by the back of my hand. Any old song, All Falls Down by Kanye, I've scratched in my hand. I know it by the back of my hand. I can recite it for you like poetry. It's so good.
Thanks for doing this, man. This has been fabulous. It's a... I feel this would have to be one of the most... Because you and I have had long conversation. This has to be one of the most freewheeling...
Yeah.
No holds barred.
I told you, I came loaded.
Came loaded and it kind of showed.
Like, I was doing pages on the way, you know. So I was rehearsing, I was getting into the grind for it.
But thank you for doing this.